Wie ihr wisst, nehmen wir momentan die Podcast-Folgen über unseren Livestream auf. Wir senden bei mir im YouTube-Kanal unter youtube.com/Christoph Magnussen jeden Tag um 11 Uhr einen Livestream, in dem wir die Kontakte, die wir aus On the Way to New Work haben und die Erfahrungen, die wir bei Blackboard haben zum Thema Remote und Cloud Work zusammen und versuchen daraus dann eben etwas Sinnvolles euch beizusteuern zur jetzigen Situation, sei es einfach nur ein gutes Gespräch, seien es ein paar Tipps, sei es auch mal die Welt aus einer anderen Perspektive zu sehen. Für jeden von uns ist es jetzt anders als vorher und jeder geht damit anders um. Unter anderem haben wir unseren guten Freund John Stepper, den Erfinder von Working Out Loud in New York, zugeschaltet und haben mit ihm ein wirklich schönes Gespräch geführt, live im Livestream, aber als wenn wir wirklich bei ihm wären. Die Tonqualität, klar, ihr wisst es schon, die ist ein bisschen anders als sonst, aber es war ein wirklich schönes Gespräch mit Eindrücken aus New York, wie es momentan aussieht, wie er sich organisiert, aber auch was Working Out Loud jetzt machen kann als Methode, um Menschen zu helfen, die ihre Arbeit auf einmal anders machen müssen als vorher. Wirklich schönes Gespräch, ich bin sehr dankbar dafür, dass wir einen so engen Kontakt mit John haben und pflegen dürfen und ja, wir werden irgendwann mal wieder rüberfliegen nach New York und ihn treffen, aber das zum gegebenen Zeitpunkt. Jetzt bekommt ihr erstmal den Einblick hier aus dem Livestream. Wenn ihr die nächsten Folgen live sehen wollt, dann immer 11 Uhr auf youtube.com/Christoph Magnussen, zumindest solange Corona noch aktiv ist, und ansonsten findet ihr die alten Streams auch aufgezeichnet. Und jetzt klingelt mein Handy, so läuft's hier.
It's a method. So, you know, at this point, you don't need to be told that networking is good or developing relationships with people in a meaningful way, that that's healthy for you. You know that. My contribution is I came up with a method for doing it. It's a peer support method that's confidential, that's psychologically safe. And you meet for an hour a week over the course of 12 weeks with a group of 4 or 5 people. And each week, a circle guide, these Working Out Loud circles, a circle guide walks you through some exercises that you could do that help you practice this giving and receiving between other people in a way that feels under your control, in a way that feels purposeful, and in a way that helps you accomplish something that you might not accomplish on your own. Now, why that's surprising, or what's been surprising, is that it's spread in the workplace. So when I first wrote a book about it, and then I developed this method and I published it on the internet, so people tried it for free. And when it works, what happens is that you realize you have the space and the time and the structure and the support to realize that you have more to offer than you might have thought.
But now we're on with New York City, our good friend John Stepper.
Yes, I would love to introduce him. He's still preparing his space, so we can see some things from New York in his back. And maybe I give a little framework to John. John is one of my living heroes, and I'm so proud that I met him in person several times. We are together in a circle of Working Out Loud. He may explain his method in 2 minutes again, so that we have an introduction about what he is doing. He's a good friend now, and I'm so happy to have him here. First question, John, before we start to talk about the situation in New York, the situation on a global space, and how Working Out Loud could help. Our first question is, how are you in these times?
Yes, that it seems every meeting. First of all, it's just nice to see you and Christoph. It every meeting starts that way with the kind of COVID check-in. And I don't know if you have the same experience. You almost feel a little bit, I feel a little bit guilty saying, I'm fine. We're okay because... you know, we have a home and food, and our kids are home, and we're watching movies, and we're fine. But when I look out my window, that there are tens of thousands of people whose income went to zero, and are kind of living on the edge. I mean, that's true in New York City anyway, and it just got about a thousand times worse. So how are we? We're fine. I'm fine. But boy, you're hyper aware that that's not the case for everybody, and that it's a luxury, really, to be able to say that I'm okay and that I've got the basics.
Yeah. Yeah. What is the thank you for being that open and clear, and Michael and I share that 100%. What we are trying to do here is give a perspective and an outlook, and it's very helpful to like get an idea of the situation. So what is New York City today, the city that usually never sleeps?
Yeah, it's sleeping. Just like my kids are sleeping in the other room, and hopefully they'll sleep for the next 40 minutes. I've lived here my whole life, and this is certainly the quietest I've ever seen it, which makes sense. This is a once in a 100-year kind of thing. I'm on the 23rd floor. We can give you a little tour.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
There you go. This is New York City. There's, I think, the Hudson River, maybe. You can see that.
Yeah.
And on the other side is the World Trade Center. It's empty. And it's kind of like walking through a movie set where, you know, you see the buildings, and but there's very, very few people. We generally stay inside, but we'll go out to the park just to get air and not go nuts. And you could almost feel people calculating the distance, how you're just walking,
yeah,
and people will separate. It is what it is. But what I will say, because I started off in a kind of dark mode, is we also see, and I'm sure you've seen this and heard this on your show, just people innovating, people coming up with different ways, or maybe revisiting traditional ways of maintaining connections with other people. It's like the city, at least in the part that I could see and feel, has dialed up the kindness. And I saw that, I remember that after 9/11. Mm-hmm. It's very much like that, where there's this chill. You look up in the sky, if you see an airplane, you're like, what's that? It's a strange thing all of a sudden. When you walk down the street and people you don't know, and you just look at each other and say, you know, hi, or how are you? There's that kind of sense of communion, of coming together, that, you know, isn't normal for New York City, maybe. But in times like these, it does feel that way.
How fast did you guys, or like, what's your feeling? Because over here, when we were talking to our friends from New York a couple of weeks ago, it seemed far away. And then we could see the images of spring breakers coming back. And then all of a sudden we had the feeling New York is similar to Hamburg. It felt like we were kind of taking it easy and then starting to react at a certain point.
Yeah.
But it felt like that New York like really reacted super fast at a certain point. What was it like? Was it from one to the other day, or how was it?
No, yeah. My wife, so I don't have that feeling, but it's because my wife works in a Japanese bank, and she was preparing her big conference in March. And they canceled it in January.
Mm.
And so at this time, this was like, really? You know, why would you? It's just something in China, in this place that we hadn't heard of. Like, is that really, you know, you're overreacting kind of thing. But the company did it. And then a few weeks later, you know, clients who weren't so sure said, oh, like, maybe that was a good idea. And then all of a sudden it just accelerated, right? So my experience was, we had seen this in our house. We had seen this movie before. We saw how it played out in Japan. And then we started to hear about the first cases in Europe. But in terms of New York City, we had no tests. We had no clue, it felt like. And I think I think part of the, I guess the way it feels to me is like, this is the biggest fire drill in human history. There's a fire and we're all looking for the exits and preparing for it. And we realize, wow, there's just a lot that we have to do, because when the bigger fire comes, we're not ready. Mm-hmm. We're not ready for this, and we're certainly not ready for the bigger fire. And so I'm hoping that, you know, as a result of this, you know, in a year, two, three, we'll have protocols, we'll have supplies, we'll have manufacturing capabilities, testing capabilities that we just don't have today. But it felt like we were slow, not fast. Mm-hmm.
If we together try to widen up the perspective onto the U.S. perspective, no? How is your government behaving? How is the economy developing? Special thing, media.
I was hoping you wouldn't.
So it's government, it's economy, and it's media. So what is the difference? Fox Media versus CNN. I did not have the time to analyze this. How are the people behaving? So maybe you give us a little bit about the U.S. perspective.
Right, and I'll spare you my, you know, my multiple biases.
Please come on.
Right. So here's the thing. I'll be honest, I don't watch the news because it's upsetting. And what I'll do instead is, there are a few trusted people, usually doctors, that like, for example, there was a great article by Larry Brilliant, who gave a great TED talk about pandemics, and he just gave the most coherent, rational explanation about what we're facing and what needs to be done. And that I watch, but what I don't listen to, you know, some government figures' tweets or anything. It's just upsetting. What we saw. And I came across on Twitter that kind of captured this for me, is it's early March. There's a little video clip that somebody shared. And here's what people in the news were saying in early March. It's a political thing. They're trying to take down the president. This is just like the flu. It's not a big deal, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then they showed the same people a few days later saying exactly the opposite. And I'm sure that's true for many individuals. But what it highlighted for me is, just like I mentioned, this is a fire drill in terms of preparedness. It's also a fire drill in terms of critical thinking and access to information. Because if you just kind of listen to the various infotainment channels, you will be misled, whether purposefully or just to provoke you or just to get a rating. And that's the U.S. is particularly good at that. In some ways, it feels like if we didn't invent it, we certainly ran with it. Mm. Unfortunately, I think the trust level, my friend calls it the reality distortion zone. It's kind of an unprecedented lack of trust in any kind of official source of information. And that's a problem. Mm-hmm. So that's what it feels like here. And it feels like we've kind of, we certainly haven't changed that. If anything, there's more of it than ever.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing, yeah.
Let's talk about, the connection you and I had in the podcast. We recorded two, one you and I did with Max, and then Michael, one with you with Method. But the connection you and I had is about meditation, resilience, Zen. What are you like doing for yourself at the moment, and what helps you? Because we ask everyone also about their rhythm, what you changed, what are you working on, how you work, and how you go through this time.
That's a good question, and everyone kind of has their tricks. So for, I think this is, it's funny because this is probably one of the most powerful mindfulness practices you have, right? Like, yeah. Oh, all of those things that you clung to Well, I meditate at this time in the morning, or I have my coffee at this place, or I, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Done. Gone. So talk about impermanence. Like, geez, none of this, it's all done. Having said that, so here are the two big adjustments that we made, that I made. One is completely reset expectations about what you're supposed to do and what you're going to accomplish. So if I cling to my, here's my to-do list, I must be productive, I have to do these things, you're going to be upset because there's more people in the house, you have to cook 3 meals a day, it seems like the dishwasher, you know, like what everyone else is going through, you're doing homework with your kids, it's just, it's different. And so kind of adjustment number one was remind, like change your perspective of what is normal. This is not normal. So change what you expect to do, number one. Number two was to be clearer, and this is a kind of gift, to be clearer on what's important. And I think many people have this in times of crisis, right? Like what's truly important. And I have this habit of, I didn't mean to show this, but I haven't had this near me. It's my little gratitude journal. And every day, you're just like, okay, what's going to make today good? And it's always about family dinner together, engaging the kids. It's never about sending some last email to somebody or sitting by myself. So it's this age-old wisdom, perspective, not clinging to old things that I was attached to, and then living more intentionally, more, to use Michael's word that he uses in our circle a lot, more focused on what's really important to us. And that actually, a friend of mine called me and said, like, when in human history has the world paused for a month and you're home with your family? Again, it's a luxury if I don't have to worry about existential things like having food, but for us at least, we're able to see this not as a as a very strange kind of gift that helps us that slow down, pause, remind us of what's important, and that's what I'm trying to look at it as.
I love that image of when has the word paused for the last time. We just watched a video before we started here. That kind of also leaves with a theory and intention that there will be a new normal. We had a wonderful talk with Babette, a friend of Michael, who also shared her kind of feeling that there will be a new normal. So the question that I have before I leave Michael with regarding working out loud questions is, what is your feeling about what kind of marathon do we have to run? And do you think it will be a pause? Or will it be a stop and we will change the CD or the LP, the vinyl, and put on a new one right now and start playing again? Of course, we will start playing again, but is it really pause or is it changing the tracks?
If I knew, I would be great.
What's your feeling? I know you don't know, like nobody knows, but what's your feeling?
My feeling is that it's in between. So that we're, on the one hand, I think this is big enough that it does, it changes decisions we make. So it changes our perspective as a family about what's important. It disrupts our rituals and habits so that some of those will change. So for sure, it won't just be pause and resume. It will be pause and then start at some new place with some new habits, practices, thinking. So there will be a shift. Having said that, man, are we habitual, right? And the habit energy is strong. So there's just this super powerful tendency to revert to what we used to do because it's comfortable and normal. And I see it more as an incremental shift than some big, you know, quantum leap. Will people still get back on airplanes? Will people still go work in offices? Will people still use plastic straws? Like yes, yes, and yes. But it will be a critical mass of people who are at least have a heightened awareness about some of the decisions they're making, you know, for the foreseeable future. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you?
Definitely, okay. And it brings it helps my perspective definitely. Michael, I know you're waiting for your questions.
No, I'm very carefully listening, and I'm enjoying what you're asking and what John is reflecting. I'm very happy that we do this, and I think this will be our third podcast with John.
Yeah, we will, definitely.
As the quality is very good and the content is extraordinary, we will put this into our podcast.
And to be clear, I am nervous every time to deal with the famous, you know, on the way to New York. I look like shaved, even during the virus, I shaved and I put on a, you know, I'm not wearing pajamas. Like, yeah.
John, I would love you to give for all of the people who didn't never heard about the method working out loud, whatever, 2 to 3 minutes summary, that you explain what is the method all about. And then maybe we can discuss together how working out loud could help to give something into this special period. I have, because I'm doing the circle together with you, the strong feeling that the method is perfect for the situation. To really to kick on new initiatives, new things, and so I would love you to give us a quick summary on working out loud, and then we can discuss this.
John, could you put the mic this mic a little bit away from the sweater?
Yes. There we go.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I'm very very mindful of not like promoting my thing during a time of crisis, because this is a very big deal, and for many people, like I said, it's an existential threat, either to their business or literally to themselves. But it has a place, and it might help some people, particularly in the workplace. So, what is it? What I developed was a way that people could build relationships, could build connections that could help them in some way, help them accomplish a goal, help them learn about a topic, help them explore new opportunities. And it's a method. So, you know, at this point, you don't need to be told that networking is good or developing relationships with people in a meaningful way, that that's healthy for you. Like, you know that. My contribution is I came up with a method for doing it. It's a peer support method that's confidential, that's psychologically safe. And you meet for an hour a week over the course of 12 weeks with a group of 4 or 5 people. And each week, a circle guide, these working out loud circles, a circle guide walks you through some exercises that you could do that help you practice this giving and receiving between other people. In a way that feels under your control, in a way that feels purposeful, and in a way that helps you accomplish something that you might not accomplish on your own. Now, why that's surprising, or what's been surprising, is that it's spread in the workplace. So when I first wrote a book about it, and then I developed this method and I published it on the internet, so people tried it for free. And when it works, what happens is that you realize you have the space and the time and the structure and the support to realize that you have more to offer than you might have thought. And you experience this kind of very beautiful giving and receiving with other people in your circle, other people in your network, other people in your company. And as a result, you feel more confident, you feel better, you feel more alive. Mm-hmm. And then people would spread it inside their company. And what's interesting, I guess the company that has the most circles, probably Bosch, they're probably around 5,000 or 6,000 people who've gone through it. And in the workplace, you've got this safe, confidential space to work on yourself, right? And to experience this connection. And some people met in person, many people meet by video. And the theme that comes across over and over again is, hey, we didn't know each other at first, and now we quickly developed a bond. Like for some people, they're friends, and by week 12, they posted, you know, they're having dinner together or they're toasting wine on their video call. And the connection to now is that here's a way that no matter where you are, here's kind of a structured approach to building connections around the world, or around your company, around your country, that make you more effective because they give you access to knowledge, resources, opportunities, but also make you feel better. And that's why I agree that now's a good time for this, particularly when you're at home, working from home, you're not used to it, your colleagues aren't used to it. Here's a way that could help humanize that. That isn't just the manual for Microsoft Teams, which is useful, but goes deeper than that and kind of make sure we don't lose the human element even when we're not all sitting in the canteen together.
I can just give a shout out to you because I'm not part of your circle. If Michael says, yeah, I know. But I know from many people how helpful it is. And that's why I love the idea to like bring you here and share it, because it definitely is now the time to try something like working out loud. And you mentioned it, to keep up the human connection, which is much more important to make the Zoom conference call or anything else work, especially right now. So, Michael, maybe you dive into that, because that's more your topic.
Yeah, so I would love to give my perspective on this as well. So I read the book, I had the podcast, I met John in person several times. We did together at Weiersdorf a New Work Festival where I was kind of moderator and keynote speaker, and he had the final keynote. And then there was a workshop where I got in contact for the first time with the method in doing so. And I really have to say, after 10 or 15 minutes of the first exercise, I was thrilled. I could feel the energy in the room. I could feel the energy in this small group of three people, all were involved in this festival, me and two ladies from Weiersdorf. It was exhausting 3 days, but we went into a safe space in a room with 50 other groups. And after this workshop, we said, well, we want to do this method. We want to do it. We want to test it in real life. And said, we do it together. We're just looking for person number four. And after the workshop, John asked me whether this made sense for me. I said, well, it made a lot of sense. And we're starting a circle. And we're just looking for person number four. And then John said, well, can I be person number four? And
so I was nervous then, too.
So I have the honor now to do a Working Out Loud circle with the creator of Working Out Loud. And it is such an amazing experience. So we started this long before Corona. We bring Corona into our sessions, or we had a special session where we said, well, we had to add one more week. We opened each other in a way I've really very seldom experienced it myself. I have some things like this in my EO forum, which is a very closed group. We mentioned this before, what EO is, Entrepreneurs Organization. I have this feeling with my best 10 friends. We share our lives since 40 years. I have it with my inner circle of my family. Full stop. And I've never did something like this with people I just met a couple of days before. And this is the power. You feel in a safe space immediately. I think when there was a time to start something like this, which was perfect or which is perfect, it's now, because we sit together at home. We all now figured out how to work remote. We will probably find easily three other people on the platform or whatever, or we can say, well, I will do so, and I try to figure out in my network other people. And it can be within one company, it can be cross-border, it can be across Atlantic. So we're doing this like this, always meeting in a WhatsApp video chat. There are even better systems on the marketplace, but for us it's okay. And everything you need for the method is online on John's homepage. We will share this later. And everyone could do so. And when people ask me now, Michael, what is the best thing to do in these times? So I say, well, I think if I just would give one advice, it's what is the single goal you have in mind? You are postponing and postponing and postponing because there are always other important things. It can be, I want to become a piano player. I want to become a singer. I want to become a good meditator. I want to, like in my case, I want to learn to focus on what is really important for me and then to keep the focus. And then start doing so. And even if we are back in life in 4 weeks, you are then in the flow and you will love it and you can do so. I think if there's one method, I would start new with the knowledge I have now. It would be working out loud. And if my circle would have ended at, say, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I would now start a new circle because it's now the time to do so.
You'd said this in our circle and it stuck with me that if you can, now is the time for important things. And that could be taking care of your family. That could be the important thing for you and what you need to do. It could be developing skills or taking on some kind of learning that, not to be productive per se, but to give you a sense of control that this isn't, it's not just something happening to you, but you can take steps with the help of other people that is a good investment in yourself.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I had, if it's okay, just yesterday, two people wrote to me, and I don't know them, but they said something. And in fact, one of them had the subject in his email, which got my attention. How WOL can help in the time of Corona, right? And again, this is not something I'm comfortable, an association I'm comfortable making. But when he wrote to me, he's in the Netherlands. And he works in a technology company. And he said what surprised him was how quickly his circle morphed into a small family.
Yeah.
He said it made him more appreciative, a better listener, feel more connected. And I think there's nothing magical about my method, by the way. It's not new. It's what it allows you to do in a psychologically safe space. It's just to be a human being with other human beings. Like you could be your authentic self with other people. And it turns out that feels really, really good. If I could just be myself and not worry about judgment, competition, status, any of that. An HR woman from Austria, she said, what surprised her was, she said, look, this is a simple method. But what surprised her was how quickly they were able to build, she called it honest and good relationships. And then she wrote, and I love this line, what a contrast to our ordinary business life. And I don't think she meant that in a cynical way, but for sure, I mean, maybe this goes back to, Christoph, what you were saying earlier, like, what's the shift going to be? And maybe, if I cross my fingers or press my thumbs, as you might do, maybe going forward, maybe we're not so quick to put on a mask at work. Maybe it's not dog eat dog and as competitive for no reason in the workplace. Maybe we allow ourselves to say, yeah, I went through that too. Like we started this call, how are you?
Yeah.
Maybe we allow ourselves to be more human in a workplace or in a set of structures and systems that don't necessarily make that easy.
Yeah,
and my method just makes it easy.
And it definitely feels like the right thing right now, because the same thought I had when Michael asked you, how are you, he stressed it, because the sentence, especially in the US, is how are you, it's like hello. But when I explained it to my daughter, she's 5, and when I ask her, how are you, and she said, oh, good, she answers. And the typical German, when he's in the first time in the US, and people say, how are you, and look, oh yeah, I'm good, and starting to talk. And maybe that's something we take out of the situation, that we really ask this question and we really want to know it. How are you? So that's why I like that. So yeah, I definitely see that it helps us. Maybe it helps more people to understand the power of working out loud and use it as a tool. And that's what we wanted to share, to have a powerful tool at the time right now. My thought that I have is there are some little groups I've started with friends. They're not too big on WhatsApp, especially like people who lost their restaurants or friends who struggle in several areas. Is there a way you could do some of the methods you developed from working out loud that you could transfer into dealing with people who are not in the workplace, who are, let's say, families who reconnect or friends who reconnect, saying, hey, use that in the group, ask this question or send a voice message and then make a call for that. Like some things that you could transfer in a broader field that would help people.
There are certainly elements that I see people applying kind of organically and that involve kind of both a sense of contribution and outreach. And so whether you call it working out loud or not, doesn't matter. Mm. But they're certainly consistent with what we try to do in a circle. So as an example, my yoga teacher, she's a friend, and she calls me out of the blue just to see, how are you? Mm. And we have a little talk. Her business has gone to zero. Mm. Right? There's no yoga studios open. And so she happens to mention that, well, she's going to do what you may see more and more of, is that she'll live stream a class on Zoom. And I'm like, oh, that's, you know, it's nice. I tell my wife, and she's our friend, we should support her. Okay. My wife actually gets out the yoga mat. I'm like, no, I don't want to do yoga. She's like, no, we have to support our friend. And we join a Zoom call, this is the weirdest yoga class I've ever been to. There were 60 people on the call. And one was in Berlin, one was in Michigan, one's in Florida, some were in New York City and New Jersey. And 2 points about that story. One, it wasn't the same, like I am used to going to a studio and the teacher's there and all of that. So it wasn't the same, but it wasn't worse. It was just different. And it was kind of cool in a way. I'm home and you're seeing on Zoom apartments all throughout New York City and the world. My teacher actually reached more people than she would have in a class without having to go to a studio, without having all that overhead. We paid her, so she could conceivably at least make actually even more money, or at least make a living. Where I'm going is, her instinct was connection and contribution. She could just as easily said, man, my business is zero, what am I going to do? I'm done, right? And just stay home in the pajamas. And instead, she calls a friend, figures out how to use Zoom, calls other friends, sees how they're doing, lets them know about her, what she's trying. And that led to something she could not have imagined like 2 months ago. Mm. So it's that kind of thing, which starts with the most simple, who's in my life and I should reach out to them? With Michael's question, how are you?
Yeah.
And it could start with as simple as that. But it could build on to things that actually lead to a combination of personal and professional. Mm-hmm. I can experiment business-wise while still making it very human. And my teacher, her name's Mindy Bacharach, she did that beautifully.
Thank you, John. That's and it comes down to this picture. I think this is the topic of the day, to humanize what we're doing right now and to go to your community and to your friends and to see what can you do there to keep that going. If everyone does that, that really helps, especially also to people that you don't have top of mind, who maybe are on their own. Yeah, Thank you.
I would love to add here something. First thing is, Christoph, the beauty of working out loud is that it could be totally transformed into a total private focus. You could have a circle where four people have a very, very private issue. A very private issue. It's a goal you want to reach, and you share the wisdom and the sounding of the crowd, the small crowd. You could have the goal, I want to become a better father. You could have the goal, how can I, I want to save my marriage, because I think if we are going to lose ourselves, and if I don't change something, we will end up in a divorce. So it could be purely private, which is the beauty of the method. And then there are some hacks I would love to share. And I think after you did one of those hacks, you will immediately fall in love with the method, and maybe you will start it. So John, you stop me if I'm telling too much, and then I stop it immediately. So one very simple thing to start is that you imagine two people in your mind where you think it would be nice to bring them together, because they have a shared passion. One could learn from the other, or they could do something together which becomes a bigger idea. So to introduce two people to each other without having anything from it, just the beauty of bringing them together, is a very nice exercise we do or did in this one of the circles. Second one I want to share is, take 10 minutes of time and absolutely quiet surrounding, and write down 50 facts about yourself. Mm-hmm. What do you think they are important about you? Maybe you do this together with someone in a just with another person. Well, let's do so, and then exchange the two or three which are the one you would never talk in public about, because they are bringing you shame or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's amazing what happens in this situation. And the third one is, and this was something where I really was so much surprised about myself and about the whole group. And I think John took this method from another context. It was there before, but it is beautifully integrated in Work Out Loud. Imagine yourself in 3 years and write a letter from your future self to you. So, dear Christoph, I know when I reach you with this letter, you are in tough times. You are in the coronavirus crisis. You are working out loud. And I can tell you the last 3 years were good. And then you write down what you want to read in a couple of years. Your future self will tell you how this letter will be. It's an amazing thing. And there are lots of exercises. Mm-hmm. I think try one of them would be an idea. Even better is to find 2 to 4 people and start a circle.
I love that. I have an idea right away. I have a group of friends that I usually go on vacation with, and this will be over this year because all the travel dates are gone. So I asked them if we can transform that into a working out loud circle. I like that experiment. And I get a better idea now of the challenges you give each other, and I definitely see the power of the human connection here. Yeah.
John, is there anything we can do for you? Do you have any questions? Can we help you with something? What can we do for you? You just gave us 45 minutes of your time
and wisdom.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
Maybe we can do something for you in return. I know you don't want things in return, but is there anything we could do for you?
You've already done it. Again, I don't know if you fully appreciate this. But here I am in my New York City apartment. I've heard about you and Christoph. Whenever I mention you in Germany or in Europe, everyone knows you and loves you. And so for me, it's like just being in the club, like just being able to talk to you or being on your podcast is a big deal. It's huge for me. So you've already done plenty. What I will ask you, I'd love... Here's two favors, two requests. One, that we stick with our plan of dinner in New York City or Hamburg.
Yes.
So, this too shall pass, what we're going through. And that is going to be a very special kind of thing to look forward to and a memory we'll make. And the other is something you said in our circle, which I'll share briefly, which was, oh, I'm going to help John like figure out how to build his company because I'm making this up as I go along. And you're light years ahead of me. And so your advice, particularly because we have a connection and I'm not worried about judgment or anything else, like your advice is priceless. So that's something that we'll do privately, maybe over a glass of virtual wine on Zoom.
We will do so.
And that would be a huge value to me. And I just nice talking to you. But thank you for this. Today was great. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, John. What to say, and I just give back. If there's anything I can do in terms of tools, remote work, collaboration, let me know. I'm there. Just one WhatsApp away.
I hope we make a movie someday.
We will. Yeah. I love that. Oh, MP will love that too. Huh? MP, what do you say? Ah, see him smiling. You make him smile. Yeah. And he wants to leave the cave as well and go out and film. John, thank you so much for the good energy and the good time. And we will reach out to you in the next weeks to see how you are. And
take good care. Stay safe. Take good care of yourself, your families, your audience.
Thank you
very much.
Good to see you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Ciao. Bye.